You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Carolyn Beeler. Not every dentist gets to stare into the mouths of royalty, but one kid from West Philly got that unique honor. Thomas Evans earned fame, influence, and a sizable fortune by treating the teeth of 19th century nobles, including Napoleon III. His money would eventually pay for the stately Thomas Evans Building, home to the UPenn Dental School at 40th and Spruce. The building turns 100 years old this year, and we figured that was as good a reason as any to have reporter Todd Bookman tell the dentist's unlikely story.
The legend goes that his first patients were the dogs of 37th Street. Thomas Evans would wrangle them into submission, then fill their little animal cavities with whatever was lying around. The young Quaker plying his trade for the days when a human would let him do the same.
He was very much one of those sort of extraordinary 19th century self-made men who had decided at a very young age that he wanted to be a dentist.
Samuel Hughes is longtime editor of the Pennsylvania Gazette and has written at length about Evans. And he says by the 1840s, the 20-something is now licensed and working in Lancaster, PA. He specializes in gold fillings, the breakthrough material of the day. Evans' skill and early success catches the attention of one Cyrus Brewster, an American dentist living in Paris. In 1847, Brewster offers Evans a job. And this would set up a pivotal moment for the man, because a few years after arriving in Paris, one of Brewster's patients, Napoleon III, is in some distress.
Yeah, he had a bad tooth. He had a bad toothache and was apparently very sensitive to pain.
But Brewster, the head dentist, he is nowhere to be found.
Evans went in to see Napoleon, and Napoleon was very impressed with this young dentist who was also very caring and was also very skillful and also painless.
This is Dennis Kinane, dean of UPenn's dental school.
I think at that point, Napoleon III took him on as a confidant and also took him on as his own dentist. So it was a tremendous opportunity for Evans, and he grabbed it with both hands.
Napoleon III, the nephew of Bonaparte, appoints Evans to be the official surgeon dentist to the emperor. All of a sudden, he's the man, treating the wealthy, the famous, traveling by carriage to serve kings and queens. And this all at a time when dentists did not enjoy sterling reputations.
Apparently there was an expression in those days, a French expression that was essentially to lie like a dentist. So they were not held in very high repute.
Evans elevated the profession.
He was instrumental in actually taking it from being quite a, let's say, a rudimentary art or a charlatan's art to actually being one which was, rubbed shoulders and joined the elite of other medical professions.
Part of this was simply an expectation that he be treated well. Napoleon, after all, had his back. But another factor was innovation. Evans was a pioneer in the use of nitrous oxide as an anesthetic, and he helped develop rubber-based dentures, as opposed to the expensive and uncomfortable metal varieties of the day. His notoriety across the continent kept expanding, as did his wallet.
I mean, he made a good deal of money, I think, as a dentist, but he probably made a lot more when they were sort of rearranging Paris.
See, Paris at the time was taking new shape. The crowded medieval neighborhoods were on their way out. Grand boulevards and parks were being built around town. And like any decent government program, there was plenty of cash to be made.
Well, he was probably one of the original insider traders.
Evans would sit in on Napoleon's meetings, getting the skinny on where to invest.
And Evans listened to the discussions and gave advice, but also then went out and bought, you know, tracts of land which the government were then going to build on.
Evans, in short order, is filthy rich. He starts buying up art, including several Manets who he knows personally. He takes on a mistress, renting her an apartment and a summer cottage. And there's also diplomatic missions. With Napoleon's support, he sails home in 1864 to meet with President Lincoln to get an update on the Civil War, reporting back that the end of fighting was on the horizon.
I mean, I think you could think of him as being the let's say, the 19th century version of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was in Paris and had a kind of similar exciting life when he was there, and was also involved in diplomacy with respect to the American War of Independence. And you could imagine that Evans did something similar when he was there in Paris 100 years afterwards.
Evans lives out his days in Paris, dying in 1897 at the age of 73. In his latter years, he thought hard about his legacy and what to do with the $5 million he had in the bank. His will lays out two priorities.
We can see it through the trees. You can kind of see it popping up through the trees.
The first is a proper gravesite back in America. And that's what Jessica Baumert is here to show off. She's director of the Woodland Cemetery in West Philly, where Evans is memorialized with a 90-foot-tall granite obelisk, believed to be the tallest monument in the country for a non-president. It dominates the 53 acres, surrounded by stonework and shaded by a towering tulip tree.
Creates kind of its own room within the cemetery, so it does feel like a very special spot.
Does it strike you as arrogant?
Yes, absolutely. I think it strikes everyone who sees it as arrogant. And people's reactions are usually, whose monument is this? And then I tell them and they're like, because it is, it's one thing to have somebody put up a monument after someone dies, like the Washington Monument, but to make the decision while you're still alive that you want something that's this ostentatious built for yourself upon your death is pretty arrogant.
But before we cast off Evans as an egotist with no heart, let's remember priority number two, and that's the Evans Building. Along with the obelisk, he left a sizable chunk of money to build a dental school and museum, which eventually finds a home on the corner of UPenn's campus. That imposing structure is celebrating its 100th birthday this year. Thousands of would-be dentists have mastered their trade inside those walls.
I don't think he was big on modesty. I think he actually, did take himself quite seriously. And, good enough for him, because he did actually do a lot for dentistry, and he did do a lot for mankind in his life.
Dean Kinane says there's plans to begin a complete restoration of the building later this year. Too bad Evans isn't around to pay for it. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.